Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 44. Time Frame. The ground around Lady Ferris Naradi was littered with chunks of the unquiet dead. Some of them retained enough infused blood in their torsos, or whatever their largest bits were, to writhe in an attempt to obey their general's last command. But none of them had enough limbs left intact to do so. They served only to act as mute witnesses to their mistress's last stand. Lady Ferris flourished the long, thin blades that she had formed from her own blood, and which she gripped in either hand, deflecting the unspeakably fast attacks of Piltover's murderous doll. Her eyes and veins burned with the arcane as her magic moved her body faster than her old body had any right to. It was the final secret of the master hemomancer and what made them so damnably hard to kill. It was one thing, after all, to put down 2 dozen corpses filled with empowering cursed blood. It was something else entirely to put down a real practitioner of the art whose heart had pumped nothing but that cursed blood for going on 4 decades. Of course, there was a reason Ferris didn't do her own work. And it wasn't because she disliked getting her hands dirty. She was rather fond of that bit, actually. For a hemomancer, igniting their own blood meant depleting their own life force, and while that would be fine if she had enemy warriors to replenish it with, a dancing metal doll was rather slim pickings.
Advisory! You are only postponing the inevitable,
Orianna chirped as her blades rasped against Ferris's. Noxians, Ferris said, panting as she flicked her head and sent one of the larger severed torsos nearby lunging up to intercept Orianna's orb with the sound like a whole pig being fed through a meat grinder. Are not the sorts to simply lie down and die.
In this case,
Orianna said,
it would be more efficient.
At a silent command, her orb, now dripping with tendon and gristle, darted over to orbit around her and erected a Hextech energy barrier. Ferris almost laughed at how poorly matched up she was against this thing. Anything else, and she would have killed it 10 times over. It didn't matter that Orianna was fast. It didn't matter that she was deadly on a level that put most Noxian killers to shame. It mattered that she didn't have any damn blood. What good was hemomancy when your opponent had already voluntarily exsanguinated themselves in exchange for industrial lubricant? What a miserable way to die. Her limbs screamed, but Ferris silenced their protests with another sacrifice of her own blood. She could feel herself becoming lightheaded. She was quite literally draining herself dry. With her magic, Ferris could knit her own skin before Orianna's blade had even left her flesh, fuse bone before it finished snapping, and allow her aging body to move as if she were 20 years younger. Every drop of blood that doll might have shed was instead ignited and transmuted into pure arcane. And all for the sake of turning the handful of seconds she had remaining to her into a handful of minutes. Really, it was just rank stubbornness at this point. She was going to die because, somewhere between all of her cutting-edge research and attempts to push the limits of magic, the march of the machine had left her behind like the relic she was. To think Ferris had once sneered at the aristocracy of Noxus and Demacia alike for their desire to cling to old ways and tradition. Now that she was faced with one of the inevitable end products of her own desires, Ferris found that all of a sudden she had no taste for it. No taste and no remaining energy left. She had no more strength to fight with. She had bought all the time that was left. Then without warning, Orianna stopped moving, stepped back and said,
Addendum, Lady Ferris Naradi, I have been given instruction to offer you an opportunity, courtesy of Logos. Defect from Noxus and Zaun, and you will be given a guarantee of sanctuary under Clan Ferris.
Ferris stared at Orianna in disbelief for several long seconds. Part of her considered it. She was old, tired, and in the face of a creation the likes of Orianna, feeling particularly sorry for herself. Sweat was dripping down her back, neck, and brow. Plastering hair that had gone white with age almost a decade ago to her scalp, and leaving ragged strands hanging over her eyes, Her armor felt heavier than it ever had before, even as a recruit back in her youth. She was old, maybe too old. Just one more wolf that was too long in the tooth to be relevant anymore. Her eyes felt sunken in their sockets, her skin dry, and her lips chapped from the cost her magic exacted on her body. She felt dry, wrung out and worn thin.
Logos awaits your decision, Lady Naradi,
Orianna prompted, politely reminding her that she was about to be one more corpse ground to a slurry beneath the unyielding tread of progress. Taking a deep breath, Ferris tipped her head back and stared up into the gray sky above. It was cold, and it looked like it was going to rain. And as the weight of her death fell upon her, Ferris found a tiny regret lodged deep in her heart. Ophelia, you deserved a better mother than me, Ferris murmured into the sky, and she looked down at Orianna and said, Tell your Logos that I'm going to have to decline their generous offer. Unlike Piltovans, we Noxians still remember the meaning of loyalty. Orianna cocked her head quizzically, then said,
I see. Resuming termination. Goodbye, Lady Naradi.
The Hextech barrier surrounding Orianna detonated in a blast of energy, and Ferris sacrificed her crimson blades, turning them into a thin shield of blood that was immediately cooked off with the stink of burnt iron. Then there was a flash of gunmetal and matte black, a sharp crunch, and Ferris found herself looking down at where Orianna had punched bladed fingers through her breastplate and ribcage. And all of a sudden, her world went black. Orianna cocked her head quizzically, then said,
I see. Resuming termination. Goodbye, Lady Naradi.
Ferris blinked. Had it just been deja vu or a premonition? Then the Hextech barrier surrounding Orianna detonated in a blast of energy, and like before, Ferris gave up her weapons to create a thin shield of blood, which was immediately cooked off with a stink of burnt iron. This time, though, she dropped. She had no strength left to deflect or dodge, so instead, she allowed her legs to buckle beneath her and dropped prone. It saved her life by a hair's breadth. Those bladed fingers sheared through her armor and carved a painful furrow across her chest, and she no longer had the will to seal her wounds. The cut oozed gamely. So dry were her veins as Ferris Naradi struck the rubble-strewn street hard and rolled away. Orianna turned to regard her in confusion, but before she could act, a small object came flying out of the mist to detonate with a deafening bang. Blue light filled the air, seeming to slow everything to a crawl around Orianna as the shrapnel and fragments of the grenade went flying past her. And then, the whole process reversed. Ferris watched in mute fascination as the grenade rushed back together, its sharp pieces slicing and tearing at Orianna's metal skin a second time before reassembling itself and leaping backward. At the same time, the hum of a hoverboard engine roared up, and the now whole grenade snapped into the dark hand of the board's rider just as he leapt from atop it. His form blurred, and it seemed to Ferris as if he was a moving picture sped up to an unreasonable degree. He came to a stop with a heavy, glowing cudgel crashing against Orianna's face and sending her flying.
You're still alive over there, lady?
Echo called. She recognized him then, the leader of the Firelights. With his veins of shimmer glowing beneath whatever dark skin and pale tattoos that his long, heavy overcoat didn't cover. He had armor too now, armored gauntlets bearing strange arcane technology. Ferris coughed, then grinned dully as she rolled onto her back. She'd almost forgotten that Piltover didn't have a monopoly on progress. Swain was right, damn him, if they won this, Zaun was going to be worth it. And then she blacked out. Echo grimaced as Lady Ferris slumped back, and all he could do was hope that was all that had happened. If she died, then Noxus was going to be pissed. It was a good thing he'd ordered his firelights to keep a weather eye out during this operation. The moment it had gone south, they'd bolted back and spread the word. Reinforcements were on the way, but Echo had made the executive decision to jump in on his own. The Grey Legion was getting their ass kicked, and Ferris was way too valuable to let her be turned into mincemeat. Singed might need help too, but not right away. The old man could take care of himself. If anything, Echo felt bad for whoever had ambushed him. Poor bastards.
Orianna,
Echo said, turning his attention to the Piltoven doll that was rising with jerky clockwork twitches while her orb came to drift into orbit around her.
You killed my friends.
They were impeding progress,
Orianna replied casually.
As are you.
Echo scowled.
Is that you in there, Camille?
He shouted.
Just you wait! We're coming for you, you cast-iron bitch!
He threw his arms back and shucked off his coat, revealing the exoframe that was encasing much of his body, courtesy of Glask's funding and Smeech's psychopathic researchers. Every one of his firelights had been outfitted with one of the Baron's experimental new exoframes, and while they wouldn't put any of his people on par with the Piltoven's blackguards, they would definitely narrow the gap. The frames had made them faster, stronger, and gave them a much-needed layer of armor that didn't weigh them down. And Echo's frame was special. By way of thanks for getting her wife a wedding bouquet, Renata Glask had commissioned a unique frame just for him. It was lighter, stronger, and more advanced, and more importantly, it had a heavily armored node that sat just between his shoulder blades and which linked into the switch on the back of his hand. It was armor and weapon all in one. It was the next generation of his own personal invention, and he called it Chronobreaker.
Come on, Dollface,
Echo said, hefting his cudgel.
Let's dance.
Orianna responded by surging forward with a dancer's grace. She lunged at him with her bloody claws while her orb broke off and circled around him. Before it could do anything, though, Echo split in two. The node on his back flared neon blue as a distorted copy of himself folded out of his body and moved to intercept the orb while Echo's flesh and blood body met Orianna with a crash of metal on metal as he accelerated forward and bashed her claws away. The whole world moved at a crawl to Echo's eyes. But even sped up as he was, Orianna moved like a viper. It was a testament to how impossibly fast she really was that she could almost keep up with him. Almost. Echo's time-accelerated swings struck Orianna's arms and legs with ringing force. That, combined with his shimmer-enhanced strength, actually dented the reinforced metal. He had always known that Jinx was fast, but having something like the same shit in his veins gave him a whole new perspective. Between that and his tech, he was faster than the Chem Baron herself, and definitely faster than Orianna.
Alert! Situation is no longer nominal,
Orianna piped almost cheerfully.
Yeah, no shit!
Echo slammed his cudgel down and Orianna blocked with both dented arms. The impact sounded like a bell tolling noon as Orianna's arms crumpled and bent under the force of the blow. Before she could recover, Echo spun on his heel and bashed Orianna clean across the side of her head, cracking the pale porcelain mask of her new face and sending her flying once more. He nearly dove after her, but something stopped him in his tracks. Time-splitting was a curious sensation. Echo could still see, feel, and everything else through his alternate self that was busy playing catchball with that bladed orb. Every time that cudgel impacted the orb, a shock went up Echo's arm. With his senses sped up, though, all that meant was that he had two points of reference. He could flank with himself, watch his own back, and move with an acuity that no one else could match. That was how he knew something was about to go wrong.
Exfiltrating,
Orianna chirped. He darted back just as the orb appeared in a flash of Hextech blue right where he would have been, if he hadn't gotten the split-second warning from his splinter, and even then. It was only because Echo's mind and body were already moving so fast. He saw the cracks appear in the casing of the orb, and without thinking, he turned and threw himself over the prone form of Ferris Narati just as the orb detonated. White-hot shrapnel peppered Echo's back and arms. But the armor of his exoframe deflected most of it. Pushing himself upright, Echo wiped the blood leaking from the few dozen small wounds he'd just taken and looked around. There was a crater in the street where the orb had exploded. And on the other side, where Orianna had been, there was nothing. The wounded doll had made her escape.
Shit,
Echo muttered.
Lux is gonna be pissed she got away again.
He thought about giving chase, but discarded that idea as he turned back to look down at Ferris Narati. Oriana was probably long gone, and they needed their Noxian ally intact more than they needed Oriana in pieces. He put two fingers to Lady Ferris's neck, desperately praying to whatever would listen for a miracle, then breathed a sigh of relief as he found a weak, thready pulse. Good. He really hadn't been looking forward to rewinding and collecting more shrapnel just to make sure he covered her body the right way to keep her alive. Still, there was no telling how long she would stay that way. Standing up, Echo scooped Lady Narati into his arms and went back to his hoverboard, keeping a weather eye out for any murderous Piltoven machines. There were none. Nor were there any blackguards or even soldiers. Whatever Singed was doing, he was gumming up the reinforcements, but good.
After all that, you better not die on me, lady,
Echo said. Not planning on it. Echo raised an eyebrow as he looked down at the war-weary face of Ferris Narati.
Huh. You Noxians are a tough bunch.
And you, Zornite, have impeccable timing. Ferris went slack as Echo mounted up on his hoverboard and engaged the engine.
Actually, I think that's just me,
Echo said with a grin.
I'm all about timing.
Ferris chuckled, then groaned. Don't make me laugh, boy. It hurts.
Not my fault, I'm hilarious,
Echo replied. They lifted off and began speeding toward the sewer entrance. If she was talking and conscious, that probably meant she would be fine, assuming he could get her to one of the frontline medics fast enough.
Where's the doctor? Ferris asked weakly.
Still fighting,
Echo replied as he opened the throttle and sped up.
I see.
Ferris sighed, then said,
You're a credit to your people, boy, truly. You're brave, strong, and I owe you my life.
Save your breath,
Echo said. Ferris chuckled weakly as she nodded, then asked,
You know, you ought to meet my daughter. She'd like you.
Before Ferris could finish her sentence, there was a crack of something like thunder. And Echo turns to look up at the sky just in time to see the clouds suddenly darken, only for a spear of golden light to burst from above and slam down to the ground like an avenging sunbeam. It struck right where Echo had last reckoned Singed was fighting.
Well,
Echo said with a grimace,
that's probably not good.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.